Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
The ivories there, thank you very much. Appreciate that. The crew family that's in the house, it's nice to have you guys. We've got William and Shirley and Matthew and Kaylee. Where's your wife? Oh, there she is. Oh, she's so young. I thought it was Kaylee. Oh, my gosh. They're part of World Missions, and they administrate Live School. And how many students potentially do you have out there? About 24,000 students around the world. Some in countries that are not supposed to have such good news, but it has. And it's wonderful. And they've just launched Butterfly, which is allowing it technically to go a lot further, reaching a lot more people. And they've just come down for a break. It's lovely to have you with us. They're visiting with us and going to have a week's break. It's good to have a break. Amen. It's good to have a break. And kind of people, the Tiltons are roughing it on the West Coast with the kids. So let them out and take a break. And any if those that are new here, it's nice to have you here with us. I'm looking forward to sharing the word this morning. And I just want to welcome those that have come online and will come online later, because obviously they're otherwise occupied now and they can't connect with us. And maybe gone to the beach early with the kids, and I'll come back and pick up later. And so let me pray for us and allow our hearts to be ready. And I want you all get your brain cells all in order to kind of hear God's word, because I'm preaching to myself and you guys are going to be eavesdropping, okay? That's what's going to happen this morning. So, Father, thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for just being able to come into fellowship one with another and with you and by your Spirit that inhabits the praises of your people. Thank you that we can get together, allow our melodies and songs to symphonize, harmonize together and bring crescendos of worship from the Flagler Beach area. And so, Father, we thank you that you receive our worship. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the word that you've encouraged me to share this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are about the year driving forward, making sure that we are fearless and faithful. And all the messages we're preaching are doing our best to underpin that, motivate that, and establish that in our lives, because after last year, there was a whole lot of quivering on our boots as we encountered something that the world had never encountered before. So we're wanting to preach into that. Like I've always said, Bill Hybels says, if there's anything short in the congregation, turn the hydrant of the Word of God into it, and it will get dealt with. So we're doing that. So I picked up the series called Jesus Teach Us to Pray, and I'm part three. And I just want to share that and started off with getting the understanding that this title came from when the disciple asked Jesus in Luke 11:1. It says, Jesus, teach us, or Lord, teach us to pray. And he had just come from praying. So Jesus was a praying man, and praying example to us. And so it's important that in that very first time, I just wanted us to realize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers and the unseen world, which is kind of foreign for those that live in the Western world where everything is very practical, humanistic, 1 + 1 = 2. And if you don't see it, you can't believe it. But I want to tell you that there's a spirit world that is alive and well and very real. And Daniel 11:32 says, those who know their God will be strong. And the translation I spoke to you about will resist him. Other translation says, we'll do great exploits. And the great exploits that we want you to do is to be able to resist him. Who's him? Him, his name's Lucifer. His name's Satan. His name is the devil. He is the one that's in the realms of darkness, pushing against us, pushing against the kingdom of God. And so then we went on to speak about how Jesus introduced us to our Father, which was a foreign way of communicating with Yahweh, our Father who art in heaven, and how his name is to be hallowed. And so he introduces us to Father. He introduces us that we enter prayer with praise. Hallowed be your name. And so I want to just so that we can Have it in our hearts like I have had it multiple times and all the way through school. We would always have to start with assembly, and when we started with assembly, we'd have to quote the Lord's Prayer, and everybody would say that together. So if you could bring that up on the screen from Matthew 6, 9, Jesus says, pray in this manner, in this manner. So I'd like you all to say that, because if it's announced out of your voice into the atmosphere, it has an effect. But and so I want us to have an effect on the atmosphere this morning. So let's say that together. Say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Valerie is on high pace. She's just like outrunning me. Okay, but all right. All right, we'll have a meeting in the bedroom afterwards. Hallelujah. I win. Hallelujah. This is how Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And it started off with praise. Praise kind of gets you into that place where you position the Father into the right place in your heart. Firstly, you position him as Father. You position him as the one in heaven, the one who has the authority. You position him, and you position yourself as a son and daughter as you approach and as you enter that place and you posture that yourself in prayer. It's important that you understand, and because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you come in thinking that you're a nobody, and that you're coming to beg God, and this great God out there far away, and that you are beckoning him to kind of, please, would you hear me? Would you please find time? No, you need to be a son and daughter that boldly runs in, jumps on dad's lap and says, hey, dad, I've got a few things I've got to chat about. And I know that you're my dad, that you're awesome, that you're in heaven, and your name is to be hallowed. And so you understand that when we posture ourselves, we can then come and declare your kingdom come, your your power and your glory. Because it starts with praise. It has an asking, so it's sandwiched between two praises, and it ends with praise. This example of prayer. So sandwiched between praise and praise is the request and petition of asking God. And it's important that we understand that. So Jesus starts directly in instructing us that we need to ask. It's important that we get there and we boldly understand that Jesus is teaching his disciples, you come to the Father and you ask him. Many times we come and apologize. God, I need to kind of bring this to you. And so the petitions in prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Straight away, you're petitioning for the kingdom of God. You're petitioning for his will to be done. So that's how you come into it. It goes on and says, give us, you're petitioning again. Forgive us, petitioning again. Lead us, you're petitioning again. Deliver us, you're petitioning again. And then it ends off with praise at the end of it. So it's important that you understand how the prayer is structured, and Jesus is encouraging us, come and ask. It's important that we do. And so here we see Jesus has no problem in instructing us in Scripture, we need to ask. John 14, verse 13, he says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son of God may bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. In John 15, 7, it says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted to you. John 16, 23, at that time you won't need to ask me anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly and he will grant you the request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name. And you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Verse Matthew 6, 8, your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask. And the popular one, it says in Matthew 7, 7, keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I don't think Jesus is holding back and trying to tell us something. We need to ask. Don't have to pitch up into God's presence and apologize for asking. Jesus has given us a clear instruction. Come boldly into the Father's presence and ask Him. And when we do that, it's important. So he said, well, I have a concern. What is the filter? What is the parameters? What are the guides? What is the thing that will govern? That will govern us, our requests. It's important that you see that there is a governance. If I come in and says, your kingdom come and your will be done, we understand it already has parameters. Because if I come asking and I ask selfishly for myself, my veterans, my happiness, my future, and I don't have the kingdom of God in mind when I'm asking in prayer, or the will of God when I'm asking in prayer, that's when we start praying amiss. Why do I want my loved ones to be saved? So the kingdom can be blessed with them coming into the kingdom. Why would I need finances to pay the bill? Because I'm a child of the Most High God and I have to live honorably, pay my bills, be able to be a good steward. And so you want to make sure when I'm asking, I'm representing the kingdom of God. When I'm asking, I'm representing the will of God. So when I'm bringing my request, whatever it may be, whether even in your health situation, you are asking in such a way that you are representing the kingdom. So it gives you the parameters on why you ask, the filter, the guide, the thing that would govern your asking is understanding that you're doing it for the kingdom of God. And we need to ask confidently, because in 1 John 5:15, and since you know He hears us when we make our requests, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. So we need to come boldly and confidently and saying, God, I'm asking You. I'm requesting of You. I'm petitioning You because for Your kingdom, for Your will to be done. So we get this blank check for the kingdom of God. We get this blank check, but it has the conditions. I can't just write anything I want on there. Because I had Anton and Suzette that were coming here, but they're now in Dubai and never managed to get here because I tell everybody it's far easier to go to heaven than come to America. That's just the way the visa situation is and green cards and all those things. But there's ways of working around it, but it's a challenge, let me tell you that. But they wanted to come here, and he had all these grand ideas of buying a Mustang, this and all that. I said, brother, you're coming here to help build me. You're buying a van and you're buying a truck so you can carry people and you can cart stuff for the church. Because that's what you're coming here for, to help me build. And I don't want you to have a fancy car that you can carry nobody and nothing in it. So that's what's happened. So you're designing your whole thinking and your believing and your planning and your purpose around serving the king and the kingdom. Then you watch. If you take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business. And that's how He works. And so we get this blank check. So Jesus is teaching us to pray, ask, ask, and keep on asking. And so His kingdom is here. It's another thing that we got to, when we speaking this prayer, that He's this petition for His kingdom is here. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That word come sounds like, God, we're beckoning You for Your kingdom to come. We are requesting, please, would Your kingdom please come? Because this is a crazy world, it really needs Your touch from the kingdom of God. But the problem is English language has an issue translating that word come. There's two tenses tied up in one. Don't ask me how that is. I'm not an English graduate, never passed an English exam in my life. I'm doing my best, okay? But come has two tenses. It means the kingdom has come and it is coming. So the kingdom came when Jesus came, He bought that and established the kingdom. The kingdom is here now, and the kingdom is still coming. How does that work? God knows. I don't know. But it's happening. And we've got to line up our prayers that Your kingdom has come, that Your will is being done, but Your kingdom is coming, and Your will is going to be done. So we've got to understand that when we're praying that, we're praying Your kingdom come, is that's what God is trying to get us to speak and announce. Because when Jesus was here in Matthew 4:17, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Mark 1:15. The time promised by God has come at least. At last, he announced, the kingdom of God is near. Matthew 12:28. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And Matthew 10:7. Go and announce to them the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus was announcing, John the Baptist was announcing, the kingdom of God is here. And how can you do that? Because he was the king. And the king had put his feet upon the ground, on earth. And he was establishing, and from that point onwards, his whole motive, his whole purpose is your kingdom come, your will be done. And so he was announcing it because he was the king. He is the king of kings. And he has established and placed his dominion upon the earth. And so he was the king of kings in the midst of them. Like I spoke to you in the very first part one, it talked about principalities and power. Prince over a region of an area. But now king, a kingdom, is a domain that a king rules over. Guess what? The earth, when Jesus came back, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. That's what he has said. He says, now go and establish my kingdom of God, in my kingdom. And so we've been authorized. We're not trying to go out there and announce and pray and call things in that is illegitimate. It's not right, not honest, not truthful, lawful. We've been given authority by God. Those that believe in Jesus, we have been given the commission to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. So it's important that we understand that. And so in Luke 17:20, it says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, there, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. And he was declaring that he was amongst them and he was there to establish the kingdom. And it's his domain. And then he's telling us, when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We are establishing the kingdom of God. So when we walk into a place, we are stepping into place and bringing the kingdom and the dominion of God. We bring the verbiage of God. We bring a posture of God. We represent God in such a way that people would say, they're different. There's something about them. Because they come with hope. They come with joy. They come with victory. They come knowing that there is a hope and a future. There's a confident expectation. Why? Because we're the carriers of the king and the kingdom. That's what we do. And that's what we're assigned to do. And so when I'm praying that we can walk in that. That we are empowered to walk like that. And in that. And 1 John 4:4, it says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We are the walking representatives. We're the ambassadors of God. So when we're praying, we are praying into that. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Start with this piece of earth, God, that you formed. This piece of earth needs to be touched by the kingdom of God. And then the little earthlings that are in your house need to be touched by the kingdom of God. And where we little earthlings go that carry God in it must affect the kingdom. And that's what you got to understand. We've been given dominion and sphere, and that we are authorized to do that. So the authority and the dominion of the king and the kingdom is with us, it's for us, and it's in us. I'm trying to encourage you, church, that we need to be confident in the God we serve. We need to be confident that when we go out there, and our purpose is to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus used to quote, the kingdom of God is like wheat. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like leaven. What symbolizes this? It symbolizes that there's growth, that there's swelling, that there's this design for increase. I heard this week. It says, when you open an apple, you can count the seeds. But one thing you can never do is count how many apples are going to be in that seed. And so we have got this incredible growth of kingdom in all of us. So when we walk out this door, the kingdom just goes everywhere. You talk about a virus spreading. How about the kingdom of God spreading? And it's wonderful that we can be there. So Jesus saying, petition to God, request of God, ask of God for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And so wherever we find ourselves, in our sphere, in our influence, in our workplace, in our society, allow us to be the light. Because the kingdom of God is where we are. So we can say the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God is within you as they've come to Christ. And so it's important that we understand that needs to be the motive of our prayer. When we come to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Because Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. New Living Testament says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need. Like I said, you take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. Many times we've stayed in rentals. We didn't own our own car. And so we just went about serving the local church we were in Zimbabwe. And when I looked up again, we owned a home. We owned our own car. We had those things we had desired in the heart. I know if my kids, if let on that some of the things that they desire, and they would never ask me for it, but I would do something to try and get it to them. That's my heavenly dad is far better than that. So it's important that you understand that our motive, our focus, our heart, when we pray, when we come, is about the kingdom of God and about his will. And I can add everything that I have need of. I can package it. And God understands that Rod needs a car because he needs to get around and because the kingdom of God gets blessed when I get a car. Now, walking Seymour is only fun for so long, you know. This watch can only handle so many steps. And then after that, you know, And that's how we started. I walked Flagler Beach quite a bit when we first got here. We didn't have a car. So we did a lot of walking Seymour then. So the kingdom of God is about being right here, right now. And so we need to plan our calendars. Our calendars need to tell us exactly what we're doing for the kingdom of God. It needs to be the one, and we need to put on the calendar, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on the calendar. And the calendar needs to tell us what we're doing for the kingdom of God. I told you that this prayer is a format. It's bullet points. It's not a mantra that you just keep and say. I'm expanding just one line of the prayer because that's how we need to look at it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we have a look at how we're planning and we want to take care of business, let's have a look at our calendar and see exactly what it's dictating to us. I was reminded of in Cape Town, we'd spent months and months working in the ministry and we were really exhausted. And so Val and I planned to get away. And we planned to get away without the kids. To say that the kids nearly had a great revolt and very angry because we weren't taking them with. And we said to them, kids, we want to tell you, it's for your benefit and for your life, safety, and security that mom and I go away. I said, no, it will not go well with you. And sometimes when you put that on the prayer, Father, I need a break for the kingdom's sake because I want to kill some sheep. The shepherd has had enough. I just want to use the rod. There's no staff involved. I'm leaving that at home. I just want to go and use the rod on some sheep. Then I know I need to go. For your sake, I'm going away. That's that. You got to understand, those practical things are important for the kingdom of God. I always remember what Dave Cape mentioned to us. He says, you need to take a break before you need a break. Because I tell you what, otherwise you're not good for your family. You're not good for work. You're not good for anything. We need to be able to pace ourselves. And so this week we're heading to our 40th anniversary as a couple. And so we're going to take some downtime this week. And so if you call, you may just get an answering machine from my side. And Joey will pick up all my calls. Thank you, Joey. Just find out about that right now. But I just wanted to say that it's 40 years. It's almost a generation that Val and I have been together. And so God wants us to reflect and refocus. And so we're looking. And that's important. You pray into that. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Because I want to be able to, the next season of our marriage, take the journey where God wants us. I'm not going anywhere, church. Don't worry about that. I'll peg my gravesite just so relax. I'm not going anywhere. But there's vision. There's things that God wants us to do. And it's important. It's because the minister is more important than the ministry, really. And so God was really. So it's important that you understand when you're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. That sometimes God will say, I need you to have a break. I need you to come away from the cold face. I need you to reflect some things about me. We get to do this in September, go and join a cluster time in South Africa. And at that same time, Val and I are going to go and visit my family in Zimbabwe. My sister's passed this past November, and I want to go and just mourn with the nephews and nieces there, just to cry with them and go and see where they laid my sister, and then go on to the cluster time, and then from there go to my brother who's in Bloemfontein. He's 3 years younger than me, and struggling with a leukemia and is undergoing chemo. So, and then obviously Val's sister's husband's just passed, and Val's mom's 90. And this, you know, understand that we stand up here, but I'm still made of flesh. I still have aches and pains. Val and I have a heart that just aches like everybody else. So all those things are involved in kingdom. And God knows that this is all part of kingdom, all part of being family. And so we're going to spend some time there. And obviously we'll get to preach in the church that sent us here. But I'm just saying it's important that your calendar guides you for his kingdom and his will. And it's important. Third thing I just want to say, that his will is best. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is so important. Jesus is our example in John chapter 5. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees his Father doing. Whatever his Father does, the Son does. Jesus was out to do the will of the Father. And if you hang around God the Father long enough and Jesus, you get to understand what's important and what you need to lock your hearts in. And that's that sweet spot. When you're in that place where you're being led by God and what he wants you to do, it's just a wonderful thing. In John 12:49, it says, I don't speak of my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Jesus had a one-track mind. It's his Father's will. His Father's will. And I want to tell you that the desires and the passions that you have in your heart, God has placed them there. So if you run after the kingdom of God, all these desires, all these things that you have in your heart will come to pass. But we seek the kingdom of God first. That's how it happens. And I'm just talking about our life's history. We watch, as we've served God, we watch that happen. So the question is our lives and our prayer and our planning his will, or is it our will? And so we need to look at that. Proverbs 14 clearly warns us in verse 12. It says, yeah, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end there is his death. And we can go and have these crazy ideas and crazy plans outside the kingdom. And I tell you what, it runs aground and it's death. And we find no pleasure in it because it's all about self, me, myself, and I, unholy trinity in God's sake. I want to have what David had. King David was known as a man after God's own heart. And Acts 13:36 says, and after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors. Go on to the next slide there, please, if you would be Sharon. I want to have this on my headstone. I did his will. That's a good thing to have on your headstone. This man, I saw a headstone at in Disney horror area. It says, I told you I was sick. Headstone said, I told you I was sick. John 7:16, it says this. So Jesus told them, my message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. Anybody who wants to do the will of God will know whether that my teaching is from God or it's merely on my own. And we understand, man, Jesus, when he was pressed, like he has nothing else pressed him, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was pressed there. And he said this in Luke 22, Father, if it's your will, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not my will. I want to just tell you, it is not comfortable sometimes to do the will of God. It's not comfortable in your flesh. It's not comfortable. So because when I approached Val and I said, listen, we're heading to America to go and plant a church in 2004. And obviously she had a bit of a wrestle. And I told you that she was up and she kind of said, no, you go and 2 years later, I'll follow you. That's kind of her answer when I asked her. So I said, God, I've had my shot at speaking to her. It's your turn now. So she was up leading a song, leading worship. And the one song that says, I'll go to the ends of the earth for you. And the Holy Spirit says, you liar. And suddenly I see my wife fall on her knees and just and blubbing on stage, and she hands the microphone to Evie and says, Evie, finish the sets of songs, and she comes off. And so she came back and says, we're going to America. Because You know, that's what it's because, and this is what God said to Val. Is it better to be comfortable and out of my will or uncomfortable and in my will? And so, yep, we came here, and let me just tell you for free, it wasn't comfortable for a while anyway. But here we are, very comfortable now and enjoying life. And hopefully that this breakaway doesn't make us uncomfortable in any way. So God has to stretch us a little further. But it's exciting. God given us a free will where we serve him or we serve ourselves. And that's the bottom line. So our thought is where we wrestle with all this. Is this God? Isn't this God? And so we have to do as Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 10, casting down all arguments and all these things that exalt themselves against the knowledge and bringing the thoughts captive. And the bottom line is, do you want to be an outcome-based Christian or do you want to be an obedient-based Christian? Because an outcome that's going to be rough, you'll avoid. If its outcome is going to be all candy and easy and you know, on the River Rhine and relaxing, and you prefer to be that kind of Christian, and it's going to be tough. You understand the devil doesn't play dead when we want to advance the kingdom of God. When you want to go bring somebody to Jesus, you think the devil's just going to roll over and say, yeah, you can have that one. Yeah, you can have that one. You know, we sang about it, yeah, hell's lost this one. Yeah, hell lost this one as well. And the devil doesn't play dead. So you've got to understand that you're going to have this wrestle, and it's between your carnal self and what your spirit man's saying. Share with that person. Ask James. James is getting bolder and bolder because he's out there in the highways and the byways, and he's telling people, hey, listen, you got to know about this Jesus deal. You got to make the deal with Jesus, man. And so you get to that place where you know you got to do his will. So are you going to be an outcome-based Christian or are you going to be an obedient-based Christian? I think there was a slide up there for that one. Hallelujah. And the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15 talks about the obedience is better than that. And Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on these things above, not the things on the earth. And there's things that just, yeah, it'd be nice and blingy and comfortable and a second house and a third house and a fifth car and unused lounge suites and all those kind of things that just carry on and carry on and carry on. But there's people that desperately need the kingdom of God. Will you just get uncomfortable and advance the kingdom of God? It's a choice. And each choice requires to look at his will, not our will. And when we celebrated the millennium, we were in Jeffreys Bay. It's a coastal fancy surf town in Jeffreys Bay. We were there when it went into the year 2000, and it was festive, and everybody was going to party on the streets there. And we were walking around just looking at everything. And Natalie, she was a lot smaller those days, she was on my shoulders. And we're walking in the crowd. And so I said, Natalie, you tell us where you want to go. And so she had me by my ears. I said, Dad, this way. And she'd grab my ears. And every time she turned me, that's where I would walk. And basically, that's what you got to say. Will of God, would you grab my ears? And would you steer me where I need to go? Because sometimes I'm hard in hearing. And I need to be steered. And that's sometimes what you got to ask. And that's what Natalie did the whole night long. Not to say my ears became like big ears. By the time she had finished staring me, because she wanted to go and see that popcorn stand, and then she wanted to go there. And so, but the Holy Spirit was to guide us into his will for his kingdom to come. And so we need to be directed in our serving, in our loving, in our obedience, in our worship, in our prayer, in our giving. All that needs to be directed for his will. And finally, obviously, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, obviously, Revelation gives us a glimpse here. Revelation 21 and 4, it says, he will wipe every tear from your eye, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone. And he's talking about heaven on earth. You understand the sting of death has left. It's good news here on earth because we've started eternity the moment you said yes to Jesus. I stepped into eternity. I may drop this earth suit, but I just move on to eternity. If we get a revelation of that, man, we just live it to the full here. Because I'm living in eternity right here, right now. And it's quite nice. So death has no sting. Grave has no victory. And so I just drop this earth suit off and I'll carry on. And so it's important that we have that kind of mindset that God wants that kingdom here. And so he wants us to have that peace that we would have with him up there. He wants it here because it's available here. There's healing here now. There's provision here now. Why? Because the kingdom of God has come. Just because you're going to have to wait to the by and by. No, he says, occupy until I come. Don't just wait. I'm saved and I'm waiting for the rapture now. No, church, we don't do that. We occupy until he comes. We've got to bring kingdom and the peace of God and the joy of God and the victory of God to other people's lives. What we're experiencing, that's our joy. That's what we are assigned to do. So it's important that we understand that. So we're assigned to affect and infect people with the kingdom of God. And so his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's so important that we're hearing God and working things out. And I just want us to understand that God wants us to ask. He wants us to ask in these different areas of our life. Ask because the kingdom of God is in our focus. The will of God's in our focus. And when we adjust our prayer just slightly in that way, that our focus is on the kingdom of God and the will of God, I'm telling you, watch provision come your way. Why do I want to be healthy? Why do I want to maintain my health? Smith Wigglesworth, man, he used to steward his body. He says, I've got so many people I've got to preach to, so many people I've got to lay hands on and see God's healing. I mean, he raised 25 people from the dead. But I don't know how many hundreds of dead people he prayed for. But one day he was walking and his hat blew off into the ravine. And the guy he was walking, he said, sir, I need to respect my body. I need to go back. I don't need my body to get ill because I have these commitments for the kingdom of God. So you become a good steward of your body. You don't buffet your body. You buffet your body. You don't buffet it because you feed it more than it needs. No, because I need to keep it in shape. I know round is a shape, and I'm doing quite well in round as a shape, but we are trying to make sure that we stay lean and mean and for the kingdom of God. But it affects every part of our lives as we are looking at his kingdom come and his will be done. So I'm going to be back with part four the next time you see me. But for now, I want us to adjust our calendar for his kingdom to come and his will be done. Run it through a microscope, your calendar. And say, what am I doing? Is this me, myself, and I? Or is this the king and the kingdom? Because if I do it for the king and the kingdom, I'm going to have the king and the kingdom's results. And the benefits going to come to my life. And I just want to encourage you with that. So, Father, thank you. We bless your name. Father, that you're encouraging us as Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So, Father, we're looking to you to adjust our calendar, adjust our priorities, adjust our purposes. And so, Father, in the sound of my voice, there may be some that want to adjust this very area of their life and then come to the King and the Kingdom and be part of the King and the Kingdom and give your life to Jesus. If that's you and you want to step in to the Kingdom of God, it's a prayer away. Because God's not going to come and force himself on you. He comes as you invite him into your life. And so as a church, we pray together and encourage those that haven't prayed and invited Jesus into their life to do so. And so if that's you in the sound of my voice, and those who are watching us on live stream, just pray this prayer and invite Jesus, the lover of your soul, the forgiver of your sins, into your life today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. You can't get yourself right to bring Jesus in. Jesus comes in and makes things right. So invite him in today. So pray with me. Church, pray out loud with me if you would. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and you died on that cross for me, that you paid for my sins. Today I acknowledge that. Today I give my life to you. Today I receive you as Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send me a note. Pick up the Connect card in front.